I came to let somebody know, don't worry about promotion. Promotion come from God, and it never comes from man. God promoted them because of what he did. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout glory. Come on and shout yes. Shout yes. But I came to tell you that even though you're in your trial, we have hope, and his name is Jesus. Came down through 39 prophets, fought in two generations. He took up a rugged cross up the Villa Dolorosa, and he went to the cross. He said, no man take my life. I lay it down. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He hung his head, and there he died. Somebody say he died. Say Friday he died. They say he died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody say power. Power to make you walk right. Power to make you talk right. Power to make you live right. Anybody know this power? He said, go to Jerusalem till you're being endued with power. What kind of power? Oh, I heard a songwriter say, what is this? I wish I had somebody that said, what is this that make me love my neighbor? I wish I had somebody that said, what is this that makes me run and ain't nobody chasing? What is this? Can I put my verse in it? What is this will make me leave the steering wheel and raise my hand and say, warty, 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 warty. Can I get you to do one more thing? Come on, grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, we've been sitting down a while. Go ahead and get up off your behind. I'll need you to step up with me and say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Tell your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, won't he do it? Let me tell you, he'll do it. He'll pick you up, turn you around. Somebody say yes. If that neighbor don't want to hear it, just shout to somebody and say, every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to read just the 34th verse of Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. All right, let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've been sent today to tell you, don't you worry about a thing. I have been ordered and ordained of the Lord to tell you, don't you worry about a thing. Why don't you help me help your neighbor and turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you worry about a thing. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you may be going through stuff, and stuff may be going through you, but don't you worry about a thing. Now, come on, give God some praise in this house. I feel like closing already. But I'm gonna take my time. I'm gonna take my time. I want you to listen. I want you to listen at what the New International Version says. Reader.
Chapter 6, verse 34 of Matthew, New International Version.
Take your time.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Ooh, glory. Now, this word is simply saying you don't need to worry. You don't need to borrow from tomorrow's worry. You don't need to borrow from yesterday's worry. That today and every day has enough worries of its own, so it won't borrow from you. So why should you borrow from it? Troubles come on every hand. We are not excluded from trouble just because we are children of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, because we are who we are and whose we are, God permits trouble to come into our lives so that we can be better defined, better developed. Listen, there are some troubles that God won't allow us to go through because we can't handle it. And I know why you're shouting like, oh, I'm glad. I don't want to go through nothing. But I've got news for you that only those who go through specific troubles, like Job and like others in the Word of God, who we wish we would never have their experiences, God blesses them in uncommon ways. In other words, when God permits a trouble, a trial, a tribulation to come your way, it's because he knows what's on the inside of you. And sometimes, this is somewhat strange, but it's true. Sometimes it takes trouble to bring the best out of you. I want to throw something out right quick, so I hope you listen at what I'm saying. God can't trust all of us with trouble. I I mean, I'm talking about the kind of trouble that knocks you off your feet, the kind of trouble that makes your day so weary and so depressing that you don't want to get out of bed, don't want to leave the house, don't want to do anything. I'm talking about the kind of trouble that only those who trust in God can handle. And so that's why some of you have little headaches, but you don't really have no trouble. You have little hiccups, but you don't really have no trouble. But when you really have major trouble, it's because God can trust you with trouble. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If God slew some of us in here, we'd cuss him to his face. We start complaining. We start rebelling. We'd start protesting about why you letting all this happen to me. I pay my tithe. I read my Bible. I pray. I do the And because we don't understand, God has a greater purpose for those who deal with trouble in a way that magnifies God and minimizes Satan in their lives. Now, there are three times in these verses, verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34, where Jesus is saying, take no thought. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Jesus is saying to the disciples and to the believers that it is not good for you to worry. Verse 25, verse 31, and 34, three times he says this, speaks this to us about worrying. What does that say? It says that it was obviously such an issue with the people of God in Jesus' day that he had to address this three times in the same conversation. Troubles had mounted so that the people of God had worries that went beyond their faith in God. And I've got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that worrying ain't good for nobody but worry. Let me say that again. Worrying is not good for anybody but worry. It's not good for believers. Because let me just tell you, throw out five things right quick and I'm going to move on. Why worrying is not good. One, worrying is not good because it causes doubt in the hearts and the minds of the believers about what God has said. See, you're either going to believe or you're going to doubt. There ain't no in between. If you believe, then you don't worry and you don't doubt. But if you worry, it's a sure case of your doubting what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you trust him, you don't worry about it. And when you doubt what God says, it does something else. It brings on fear. Second point, fear. Listen to David's Psalm 24:1. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm sorry, the 23rd verse 4. 23rd number, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? I will fear no evil. If he would have felt and feared evil with God right by his side, then what would that have said about the trust and the ability that he believed God had to deliver him. Well, we don't need to just look at David. Look at ourselves. What does that say about us when God has said, whatever our troubles, our issues are, that he's a very present help in the time of trouble? If I worry and doubt and become fearful that God is not with me, then the enemy wins by default. Listen to what I'm saying. In other words, he just let me have my own doubts and my own fears that actually brought me to the place where I'm condemned by my own beliefs. In other words, when he talks about, again, don't worry, he's really helping us to understand that God is the only reason why believers should not worry. And God in your life, God controlling your life, God protecting your life, God providing for your life, how can you doubt him who does everything for you? So you have doubt, you have fear, but then you have stress. Stress. Stress is a terrible enemy. Stress causes you to lose rest. Stress causes you to have duress. Stress causes you to miss out on the best. Stress is no friend of ours. And we've got to know that when we stress, it's because we are fearful and doubtful. I'm just building this foundation so we can understand how to handle this issue called worry. When you get through stressing enough, it brings sickness on you. Sickness in the physical realm, sickness in the emotional realm, and sickness in the psychological realm, and sickness in the spiritual realm. All because you're stressed out and fearful and doubtful that God cannot back up his word. And then the last thing that you're going to discover is not only is there doubt, there fear, there stress, there sickness, but it all leads to failure. Failure. You don't realize that the devil can't do you no more than God permits. When he saw, listen, that God had a hedge around Job, God had to tell him, man, you ain't mentioned nothing about Job. I know you see him. He said, yeah, I see him, but I also see that hedge you have around him. But here's what I want you to know. If you take that hedge from around him, I bet I'll make him curse you to your face. If you take back all the good things you've done. Matter of fact, let me be honest with you, God. If you had been good to anybody like you've been good to Job, everybody would serve you. But if you take your stuff from him, he'll curse you to your face. God said, I'm not an Indian giver, but what I'll let you do is I'll let you take it. Because I know Job, and Job knows me. And we've got a relationship. But I tell you what, you can touch his stuff, but don't touch his life. And everything the enemy tried, it did not work with Job, because Job trusted God. My brothers and my sisters, listen to what I'm trying to help you understand. It does not make sense to worry when you have the word. If you don't have the word, I can understand you worrying because you don't have a foundation upon which to build your faith. That's why the word is so important, because when you know the word, when trouble comes, the Holy Ghost goes down underneath the skin and references your library and pulls out the archives of your memory, the appropriate word to handle the enemy. When Satan was testing Jesus in the wilderness, every test he brought against Jesus, the Holy Ghost went down on the inside of Jesus and brought up the appropriate word, and Jesus said, "It is written." But what happens when we get tested? "Lord, I don't know why all this happening to me. Why I'm such a, I try to treat everybody right, Lord. I didn't deserve it, blah, blah, blah." God don't want to hear it, and Satan is laughing at you. Because the only thing that's going to scare Satan and make him back up in his tracks is the word of God. That's why every time Jesus, the word personified, was tempted of the devil, he used the word. He didn't get troubled. He didn't get worried about what the devil was doing, what he was showing him. He spoke the word. And that's what the believers have got to learn how to do. Speak the word. But you can't speak the word. Oh, somebody listening now. If you don't know the word. And it's amazing. It's amazing how we will put everything ahead of the word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. He builds up his spirit man so that no matter what the devil throws at him, he's got a word for him. After the word goes forth and pricks the devil, and he keeps throwing this and that, and you keep throwing word back at him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to depart from you. He said, "I'm going to find those who don't go to Bible study and work on them. I'm going to find those who don't know nothing about Sunday school and work on them. I'm going to find those who ain't got no word in them and wear them out." And so Jesus says, don't worry. Take no thought for tomorrow. Now, let me show you in the text. From verse 21, 25 through 31, there are five things that the majority of people, saved and unsaved, worry about. Listen, it is because they find themselves trusting stuff, things, people, themselves, rather than God. Well, the Bible already says, we're in the sixth chapter, God already knows what we have need of. There is not a need you have in your life that God doesn't know about. He tells us not to worry about a thing. Listen. From the smallest little minute situation to the greatest and grandest trouble you've ever experienced in your life, they're all the same to God. There's no big trouble and little trouble to God. It's all trouble to him. And he handles every bit of it. There is no weakness in God. God knows that there is no greater power than him. And so the people of God have got to learn that there's no greater power than God. And when they learn it, then they can speak it in everyday life application. What are the five things that most folk worry about? Well, it's right there in the text. Again, I've given you the scriptures. One is the fact, well, if we start chronologically where he deals with it at, in verse 21, he deals with treasures. So that's finances. Finances is most folk problems, saved or unsaved, because we violate scriptural principles like tithing and giving and sowing and reaping. We have financial problems. And what a lot of folk miss is that while you might be okay, while you might be comfortable, that's not all God has for you. God wants to bless you, listen at this, so you can bless his kingdom. He giveth us power to get wealth. For what purpose? So we may establish his kingdom. You can't do it with broke folk. When Judas was telling Jesus, you know, the woman that poured all of the oil on Jesus' feet and so forth, and he said, you know, he was mumbling. What is the waste of this? We could have sold that ointment for at least 300 pence, and she didn't put it on his feet. Jesus heard that. Jesus told him, listen, the poor you're going to have with you always. Don't act, because he knew Judas's heart. He knew his heart wasn't right. He knew his motives weren't right. Judas was holding the money. He wanted it the bag filled so he could dip in. Take a little bit and nobody know about it. But Jesus made it clear, listen, what this woman has done, she's done as a memorial unto me for my burial. It's far greater than any money could buy. He wanted us to know that treasures, this verse 21 says, where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. And I challenge you, all you got to do is look at your checkbook. You'll see where your treasure is. If you got a budget, you look at it, it'll tell you where your treasure is, where your heart is. Because where your money go is where your heart is. Look at what you spend the most on. All right, so the first thing he deals with is finances. But then he goes on from finances to food. Take no thought for what you shall eat or drink. That's food. All right? Then he moves on from finance, food. He moves on to fitness. You can't do nothing about one hair on your head. You can't do nothing about growing an inch longer, taller. You even can't control the extent of your health. And so he knows people worry about their health. They worry about what they're going to eat and drink. They worry about their finances. But another thing they worry about, he said, are your raiment, what you're going to put on. That's fashion. Some folk worry about their fashion. They can't come to church because they ain't got nothing new or nice. I've worn that 2-3 times. I can't wear that no more. And they ain't got nothing to buy nothing else, so they stay home. A trick of the enemy. Do you realize God is not looking at and for your fashion? That's for folk here who you want to impress. But if you want to impress somebody, come as you are and say, God, with my hands lifted up and my heart pure, I worship you. Things happen. Situations come. But if we're not dressed to the nines, we're not coming to church. We're afraid folk gonna look at us funny. Well, I got news for you. God's gonna